When the Jesse Dixon singers sang that song at a Paul Simon concert, tens of thousands of people were on their feet. They were punching the air. They were slapping their thighs. They were clapping. They were dancing. They were singing with great exuberance. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Probably taken up more with the music than they were with the message. You see, we live in a secular world. Could we say Jesus really is the answer? In our multicultural, in our multiracial, in a world which has many religions, which has thousands of cults and sects and ists and isms, can we honestly say Jesus is the answer for the world today? I have it on good authority from some of the young people here that you know someone I really like. He's a myth and a legend, but nevertheless, you like him as much as I do. When I went to school, we had a teacher called Bagsy Holt. We called him Bagsy Holt because he had great big wide baggy trousers. He used to teach us algebra, which nobody liked, but then he would tell us about myths and legends. And one of the great legends he would tell us about was this man, Hercules. Now, I believe you can even get Hercules in cartoon fashion today. Is that right? But I liked Hercules. He was big. He was strong. He was brave. He was just. And one of the many stories which Hercules, it used to be said about Hercules, was his fighting of the many-headed monster. A monster with many heads would come. And Hercules, defending what is right and defending what is just, he would take on that multi-headed monster. Today, as we come to Colossians chapter 2, we find that the Apostle Paul takes on a five-headed monster. You see, it's not just in the world where the question is really being asked, is Jesus the answer? Is he really the answer? You see, even in the church, and there in the church at Colossae, had come some false teachers who were saying, yes, Jesus is important, but he's not all important. He's prominent, but he's not preeminent. What you really need is Christ, yes, plus, number one, elite intellectualism. Number two, ritualism. Number three, legalism. Number four, mysticism. Number five, asceticism. You need Christ plus these things. Paul now takes on this five-headed monster. Shall we follow it? Number one, Jesus is the answer to elitism, to elite intellectualism. Listen as we read verses 8 to 10. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and all authority. Don't be kidnapped. Don't be kidnapped by mere human philosophy, by human traditions, No matter how highfalutin it sounds. Remember the Gnostics were saying, we have higher knowledge. We have higher power. We are the elite. We've had the special revelations. You need Christ plus elite intellectualism. No, says the Apostle Paul, you watch out. You beware. You be on your guard. You see to it that these false gospel peddlers do not kidnap you. That's the meaning of the word taken captive. Someone comes and kidnaps you. No, don't you be taken in by this. A God who can be reduced to human reason is not worthy of our worship. It is certainly not the God of the Bible, and it is certainly not our Lord Jesus Christ. Don't be taken in by this elite intellectualism which says, well, there are human ideas, and there are human ideologies, and there are human theories, and there are human philosophies. They're based on man-made traditions, based on the elemental spirits of the world, speculation, superstition. No, don't be taken in by this. Don't be taken in by high-sounding, highfalutin theories, theories of men. Remember, man at his best is at best only a man. And we don't rely upon human speculation. We rely upon divine revelation. After all, says the Apostle Paul, he told us last week, in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now he says, all of God's fullness dwells in Christ. Christ is essentially God. Christ is eternally God. Christ is equally God. And he says, he is the head of every power in the universe. And you are full, you are complete in him. No, you don't need elitism. You don't need intellectualism. You don't need to be kidnapped by human reason. You're complete in Christ. He is essentially and equally and eternally God. You don't need anyone and anything other than him. Number two, ritualism. Shall we read it, shall we? Verses 11 to 15. In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead, and you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses. By cancelling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands, this he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. You don't need ceremonialism. You don't need ritualism. You don't need external activities. You don't need the ritual, the Old Testament ritual of circumcision, the marking of the body, the mark that you're separated, the mark that you're purified is not a physical act anymore. The mark that you belong to God, a part of his family and nation, is not a physical act anymore. It's not part of the ritual that you and I in New Testament, New Covenant days need to go through. After all, think about your baptism, says the Apostle Paul. Some of you are going to get baptized. When you get baptized, it's a wonderful picture of our union with Christ. We're buried with him in baptism. We're raised with him into newness of life. We don't need Old Testament rituals. We need to be in union with our Lord Jesus Christ, in fellowship with him, at one with him. After all, your purity, your cleansing, your identity has been taken care of at the cross. At the cross, Christ has cancelled our debts. Isn't that good? Do you remember what the psalmist said? Out of the depths have I cried unto you, O Lord. If you should mark our iniquities, who could stand? If you were to take a register of every thought, of every word, of everything we've left undone that we should have done, of all the things we have done that we shouldn't have done, imagine that record. Imagine that list of debt that we owe to God. But at the cross, it's been cancelled. Do you know what they used to do when they used to crucify people? They would take the list of their sins. They would take all their crimes. And they would put the crime above the man who was hanging upon the cross. Well, those crimes, those deeds left undone that we ought to have done, those things we have done which we shouldn't have done, they've been cancelled. They've been cancelled at the cross. In fact, they've been nailed to the cross. Remember what the hymn writer said? My sin, oh the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to his cross. And I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Do you know, the man or the woman who struggles with guilt, the man or the woman who looks back in his life or her life and sees it littered and cluttered with regret and sin and mistakes and shame, all that undoneness, all that uncleanness, all that unfitness, all that unworthiness, is nailed to his cross. And I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. The slate is wiped clean. Not only so, did you notice what Paul said? He said there's been a triumphal march. You see, you remember the context. Paul wrote in days when the Roman Empire was ruling. What would happen when a Roman emperor would come, having had a great victory? He would come triumphing, marching, probably on his chariot with all his soldiers marching. And then behind them would be all the slaves, all those who've been taken captive, all those enemies that have been taken on and been defeated. Listen, do you know what an enemy of your soul is? The enemy is the devil. He whispers in your ear. When Satan the accuser comes and whispers in your ear, look how guilty you are. Look how fallen you are. Look how inconsistent you are. Look how rubbish you are. Look how undone and unclean and unfit you are. Well, listen, Christ by his cross not only has cancelled the debt, but by his resurrection he is marching victoriously, and all the cosmic powers and all the demons and all the principalities and all the accusers of the brethren come marching behind, vanquished by the triumphant Christ. No, you don't need ritualism. You need to be in union with Christ, celebrating his cross, celebrating his resurrection. Number three, Jesus is the answer to legalism. Should we read verses 16 and 17? Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival, or a new moon, or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come. But the substance belongs to Christ. People are coming to you and saying, yes, but you need Christ plus legalism. You need to watch the things you eat. You need to keep special feast days and special fast days and special religious days and special new moons and special Sabbaths. You need all of these hard-line legalistic rules and regulations. You don't just need Christ, you need them as well. Listen, says Paul, no you don't. Don't let anyone pass judgment on you. You don't need the shadows when you've got the substance. They were all types. They were all pictures. They were all shadows. They were all illustrations in the Old Testament pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ himself. It's not rules. It's not regulations. It's not feast days and fast days and Sabbaths and special religious occasions. It's not that you need. That's just a shadow. It's Christ you need. All those shadows are fulfilled in him. Have you ever seen those drawings? You get these drawing books and you have to join the dots. Have you ever seen that? And you do it in sort of, you know, your pencil draws, and then you get someone who's really artistic. They not only join the dots, but then they get all their pencils out with all their different colors, and they fill in the shades, the beauty, the color, and that which was in the shadow now becomes a substance in full, beautiful color. You don't need legalism when you've got Christ. Christ is all you need. Number four, Jesus is the answer to mysticism. Let's read verses 18 and 19. Let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism and worship of angels, going on in detail about visions, puffed up without reason by his sensuous mind, and not holding fast to the head. From whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God. These false gospel peddlers were coming to the Christians there in the Lycus Valley saying, you haven't got enough. You're disqualified unless you've got these mystical experiences. Unless you've seen these visions. Unless you've heard these voices. Unless you've seen these angels and worship these angels, unless you've had ecstatic experiences and make ecstatic utterances and take it up with the mystical. No. Let no one disqualify you with claims of visions and angels. You have the head of the church. All you need is to make sure you're growing in him. In him who is the head of the church, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the one who rules in the armies of heaven and amongst the inhabitants of the earth, the one who's in charge of his whole church. You're united to him. All you need to do is to grow up in him. Oh, listen, you will come across people who say, you are a fourth division Christian. Not until you've had the special it. Not until you've had some mystical experience. Not until you have these ideas that come into your mind that the voice of God is actually speaking to you. Watch out. When I hear a person say, God actually speaks to me. Watch out. Now, we have all that we need in Christ. All that we need. You know, in the book of Isaiah, we find this wonderful phrase. You shall hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. So the Logos, this is the revelation of God, that full, final revelation in Christ. But then there's the Rhema, the application of the Word of God to our own souls. Yes, God by his Spirit through his Word speaks to our minds, speaks to our hearts, speaks to our souls, but never outside of the framework of God's Word and the fullness of God in Christ. Christ is all we need. We don't need visions. We don't need angels. We don't need voices. We don't need dreams. We don't need mystical experiences. We need more and more and more of Christ. And Christ alone. Number five, asceticism. Shall we read this? If with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the world, which is what's happened, remember that in Christ we've died with him, we've been buried with him in baptism, we're going to be raised into newness of life and into everlasting life. Our old life is finished. We're finished with the elemental spirits of the world. Why, as if you were still alive in the world, do you submit to regulations? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. Referring to the things that all perish as they are used. According to human precepts and teachings, these have indeed an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity to the body, but they are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. What you need to do, said the false gospel peddlers, says the Gnostics, if you want this higher, greater knowledge, this greater wisdom, this greater experience, you need to cut yourself off. That's what you really need to do. What's more, don't do this, don't do that, don't go here, don't go there, don't say this, don't say that. We don't smoke or swear or chew, and we don't mix with those who do. No, 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 we don't need any of that. What we need to do is to be severe, to have real discipline, to cut ourselves off. Now listen, friends, discipline is the key to godly living. But it isn't the key to knowing God. Christ and Christ alone is the key to knowing him. Oh, listen, we don't need to go and put ourselves in caves or cut ourselves off. I never forget hearing, I know I've told some of you this before, I never forget being at a conference and hearing a man who said he was walking down a promenade. And just a few feet behind him was a couple of boys who were blaspheming, taking the name of Jesus in vain. He said he was so offended that he had to go home, lock himself in his study, and spend hours in prayer. Nothing wrong with that. I'm glad he did. Might have been better to turn around and have a chat with the boys. Mightn't it? Being severe. Cutting yourself off. It's self-made religion. It has the appearance of being holy. It has the appearance of being really, well, you know, I'm a Premier League, top-of-the-range Christian. But it has no power. It has no power. We know that from the stories of, like, Martin Luther. Remember how he would do penance, scrub floors, do all sorts of things to try and improve his relationship with God. Until it dawned on him, the just shall live by faith in Christ alone. It makes you look, it gives you the appearance of being holy, but it has no power. Your mind, it still thinks those things it shouldn't think. Your heart, it still feels those things you shouldn't feel. I never forget, actually, speaking at a conference in Northern Ireland. It was a minister's conference. And I stayed with this family, beautiful family. They put me in a room with a huge library. Because I was so nervous speaking to all these ministers, I literally spent my whole time in the day reading, 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 praying, 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 so I could get to the evening services. There were a lot of them to speak to ministers. I'm telling you, there I am in a Christian home in godly Northern Ireland, surrounded by all these books. And there were times when my mind was on fire. I was thinking all sorts of things. No, 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 no. Self-made religion can be severe, but it has no power. Only Christ has the power to cleanse us from our sin, to create in us clean hearts, right spirits, to make us right with God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. That only comes by knowing him who is pure in heart and his righteousness credited to our account. So here's Jesus, the answer to Christ plus elitism and intellectual philosophies, high-sounding words. The answer to ritualism, ceremony. The answer to legalism, the do's and don'ts. The answer to mysticism, the visions and dreams and angels. The answer to asceticism, the cutting of yourself, being severe on yourself. No, everything you need is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you look at this passage, you find that the apostle goes to the affirmative. He says, you are full in him. Everything you need, you're complete in him. There's fullness in Christ. There's forgiveness in Christ. There's fellowship in Christ. And there's freedom in Christ. Now that's good news. I read this story. It moved me. I hope it moves you. A very rich man who loved to collect art paintings had a son who he loved dearly. And what's more, this son shared his same passion for art. They would collect pictures of Van Gogh, by Van Gogh, by Raphael, by all the great painters, Picasso, Rembrandt. And they would admire them. But then war broke out. And this young lad had to go and join the army. While he was in the army, he met a friend. And this friend shared his same passion for art. They used to talk about art all the time. One day on the battlefield, these two young lads were together. This fellow was about to be shot when this rich man's son took the bullet for him. The rich man, when he found out that his son had been killed, was absolutely crestfallen. In the course of time, a man knocked on his door. He said, I am the young soldier who was friend to your son. He told me all about you. He told me all about your passion for art. I shared that passion. I would like to give you something. And he took out a scroll. He said, I did this painting. It was the painting of your son. Maybe it was in uniform. The man was absolutely overwhelmed by this. Tears started to roll. What can I pay you? No. I want to give it to you. Do you know what the man did? He framed this picture of his son. And he put it above his mantelpiece. And he would look at it every day. But you know what happened? Because he was broken in heart and crushed in spirit, he died of a broken heart. All his famous paintings by Picasso and Van Gogh, they were to be on auction. And all the art collectors from all over the world came. And the auctioneer stood at the front. He said, listen, before anything else, this is the painting which I ask you to bid on. It was the painting of this man's son. All the art collectors were saying, no, we want the famous ones. We want the Raphaels. We want the Van Goghs. No, who will bid for this? No, we want the masters. We don't want this. At the back stood the gardener. The gardener who'd known this son, he wasn't very wealthy. He said, I will bid. And he bid a small sum of money. Whereupon the auctioneer said, this auction is now over. Because the man has left in his will, the rich man, that whoever purchases the son will have everything. Whoever has the Son of God has everything. All we need is found in Christ alone. That's why Augustine, that great person who knew our Lord Jesus Christ, said this: Christ is not valued at all until he's valued above all. All truth is found in Christ. All knowledge is found in Christ. All wisdom is found in Christ. All pardon and forgiveness and mercy and grace is found in Christ. All joy and value is found in Christ. All fulfillment is found in Christ. All satisfaction is found in Christ. All hope for time and for eternity is found in Christ. In Christ, there is a love that can never be fathomed. There is a life that can never die. There's a righteousness that can never be tarnished. There's a peace that can never be understood. There's a rest that can never be disturbed. There's a joy that can never be diminished. There's a hope that can never be disappointed. There's a glory that can never be clouded. In Christ alone, all my hope is found. Look to him. Cry to him, love him, serve him, follow him. Let's stand and sing. thank you that Jesus is the answer. Grant, O Lord, that we might grow closer to him, grow up in him, knowing him whom to know is life eternal. Hear our prayer, that our cry come to you. Let's say the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.